Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Aaron Awada, counsel for Howard S. Wright. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes. The issues in this case are whether the Superior Court erred by concluding that there were no substantial facts in the record to support the Board of Industrial Insurance Appeals findings, and whether the narrow area where two Corona Steel employees outside the guardrail, whether they're welding, whether they're working on a walking working surface, and whether or not the fall protection rules should have applied to a 4-foot standard or a 10-foot standard. There were substantial facts in the record to support the board's decisions that the 10-foot standard was applicable. In finding number two,
why is that applicable? As I understand it, the citation was not issued under the fall protection provision of the WAC. It was issued under 296.155.100.1A, and the state concedes that 24510, the fall protection provision, does not apply, but that the provision related to the walking working surface does. And so that then triggers a responsibility to have a handrail or equivalent, I think is what the WAC says.
Well, it's our position that, first of all, WAC 296.155.24510 did apply, and that's a 10-foot standard. And that's the underlying citation against the Corona Steel, which the state is saying that Howard S. Wright failed to enforce a 4-foot standard instead of a 10-foot standard.
So you disagree that the citation was issued under 155.100.1A?
It was. And so there are two parts. One is did Howard S. Wright, as a general contractor, fail to establish, supervise, and enforce in a manner effective in practice a safe and healthy working environment, which the board clearly held that because of the numerous walk-around inspections, the safety manuals, the disciplinary program, that they did not violate that standard of care. And so that's the second part of, you have to assume first that there is a violation, and secondly, if there is a violation committed by the subcontractors, that in order to hold the general contractor liable under 155-100 subsection 1A, that they failed to exercise their due diligence to supervise the contract, that they failed to supervise the job site. And in this particular case, the board concluded that there was no violation of 296-155-505 because the 4-foot standard did not apply, so there was no underlying violation. And secondly,
so they're looking at the 4-foot standard. I don't think they reference 24510.
Well, they're arguing that because it was the same slab.
Well, I'm talking about the findings. The findings don't reference 24510. The
right.
Findings are talking about the work walking surface provision.
And that it had changed so that the walking working surface for an open floored siding simply did not apply, which the state argued that it did. And that's the basis of what the state is arguing now, is that they're arguing that the board should have applied the 4-foot standard, and the Superior Court agreed. And because the Superior Court applied the 4-foot standard, it concluded that Howard S. Wright failed to meet his obligations as a general contractor.
So why is that wrong?
It's wrong for several reasons, Your Honor, because, first of all, if you look at the exhibits, exhibit number 10 shows that there was a guardrail, that if you're working on the inside of the guardrail, you're protected. The two Corona Steel employees were working on the outside of the guardrail on an area that was less than 45 inches wide. And because it's less than 45 inches wide, it could no longer be considered a walking working surface because WAC 296-155-24503 clearly says that a walking working surface is any area where whose directions are 45 inches or greater in all directions through which workers pass or conduct work. In this case, it's a finding of fact that they were not on a walking working surface because both Mr. Olson, the compliance officer, and Mr. Munoz testified that it was less than 45 inches. Mr. Olson said it was 1 foot. Mr. Muniz said it was less than 3 feet. And so therefore, when you're working on the outside, it's no longer a walking working surface, which means that you apply a 10-foot standard. And because, as a finding of fact, they're working above 4 feet but less than 10 feet, there was no violation of the 10-foot standard.
Doesn't that seem to be kind of an upside-down regimen? So we're going to say, as long as you're under 10 feet and you've got a railing somewhere that makes the edge the narrower than 43 inches, whatever it is, then you don't need fall protection because you're under 10 feet, and you don't need an additional railing or the equivalent because it's less than, you're on a very narrow precipice from 0 to 10 feet high. Doesn't that seem very dangerous standard to set?
Your Honor, that's what the rules were that the Department of Labor and Industries promulgated under WAC 296, 155, 24510. It clearly held, if you are above 10 feet, you need to protect yourself. If you're less than 10 feet, then the standard doesn't apply, and you don't have to protect yourself. And that's the way that the rule was written, and that's the rule that we had followed.
I guess the counterpoint would be, well, but when we construe that, an overarching consideration, so it makes some sense, and when we're deciding whether where you stick a railing then defines an area on an existing platform, a separate area to apply to the walking working space standard, that sure. Really turns around the policy underlying the statute and the regulations.
But it really doesn't, Your Honor, because if you think about it, the walking areas is like there's a walkway where you have many people walking and going through. And in that situation, you apply a 4-foot rule because it's easier for people to be distracted looking at their cell phones. And if they don't have a guardrail, they can easily walk off. You apply a 4-foot standard. But when you have an individual who's welding on the lintels, he's there by himself. No other trades are there. He's there purposely. He's right at the edge. He knows where he's at. And therefore, he can assume that he's paying more attention. And because there's less than 45 inches, you can't put up a guardrail because there's no space. And so the requirement is that you have to apply the fall restraint or fall arrest to tie off.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Paul Weideman, Assistant Attorney General, and I represent the Department of Labor and Industries. By not guarding the edge of a walking working surface, Howard S. Wright Constructors failed to establish, supervise, and enforce a safe workplace. This exposed workers working on the edge of the surface to falls of up to 7 feet, which could have caused broken bones and hospitalization.
Am I correct in my understanding from reading your brief that you concede that the provisions under 2451 do not apply?
You are correct, Your Honor. WAC 296, 155, 24510 does not apply. That's a 10-foot rule.
So that's the fall protection. So all we're looking at then, well, let me back up. So was the citation issued under 505, the working surface, 505-1?
The citation was issued for a violation of WAC 296-155-101.
Right. No. Okay. So that was what the citation was issued for. So how do we get to what the underlying violation was? You say it's the walking working surface, right? How do we know that?
Correct, Your Honor. That is because the obligation of the employer under 296-155-101A is to establish, supervise, and enforce a safe workplace.
So that was what was argued at the administrative hearing?
That's correct. But as part of that obligation by a general contractor under the Stute case has an obligation to ensure compliance with all safety regulations on the job site.
And so it would include this, and that's the 4-foot. What we're calling the 4-foot rule.
That's correct. And that is
so what would be required? As I understand it, it's a handrail or equivalent?
Standard railing or equivalent is the language the regulation uses.
Okay. So that was what should have happened.
That is what should have happened to protect all workers on the job site. The definition of walking working surface is what controls here, and that is any area whose dimensions exceed 45 inches in all directions through which workers pass or conduct work.
And so having a railing or equivalent would protect the worker from a fall.
That is exactly the purpose for the regulation.
All right, even though we're not talking about fall protection.
That is correct. The hazard is falling off the edge. And as the previous question suggested, it would be incongruous to suggest that workers working in the more hazardous area outside of the edge of the guardrail would have less protection than those working on the inside. And contrary to counsel's assertion, this is not a substantial evidence case. The board's finding of fact 2 is correct in its entirety, that the surface where the workers were working exceeded 45 inches in all directions, that there was no fall protection being used, that the fall was greater than 4 feet, and that the area outside of...
If they were using fall protection, some sort of hitch-em-up scheme, but the railing was just where the railing was, would it still be a violation?
Your Honor, it would not be a violation if it was an equivalent under the regulation. And
what does that equivalent mean? I mean, is this a backdoor way of getting into the 10-foot fall protection wax? Are those incorporated in this?
They're not incorporated. It's not a backdoor way. For examples of equivalents, you can look at Howard Wright's own safety manual in this case, which indicated several different ways when there is a walking working surface with a 4-foot fall that the general contractor can protect employees on its work site. And that includes catch platforms, aerial lifts. There was also scaffolding. Guardrail is another. So there's several different equivalents that could have been used here in order to protect the workers.
The idea is to give the employer some flexibility, that it can be something other than the standard railing.
Absolutely. The regulation...
There's a particular task that has to be performed, and somehow the standard railing is inconsistent with the performance of that task. It allows some discretion in the employer, and that presumably, whether that was properly the exercise of that discretion, would be whether or not, is it a factual finding that it kept them equivalently safe? Is that what equivalent means?
Equivalent is, the analysis under equivalent would be, is it equivalent to a guardrail such that the fall hazard, which the regulation is intended to protect against, would be accomplished?
Keeping them equivalently safe. It's not an equivalent structure. It's an equivalent to safety.
That's correct. And it's also true the regulation itself in subsection 3, although this is not briefed, gives the employer even more flexibility if the guardrail needs to be temporarily moved in order to do certain types of work. Then there's other protection built in. They can have a monitor to make sure that no one is accessing the edge, or they can provide other equivalents in order to protect against the hazard. But the real purpose here is to ensure that workers who are approaching the edge of the walking working surface do not fall off. As the inspector testified, what would result would be broken bones and hospitalization. So therefore, the board's finding...
Or cutting their foot off with a welding implement?
Potentially, depending on what's underneath the
building. They're welding, they fall. Right?
They were welding in this case.
Or cutting the other guy's foot off, I guess, on the way down.
Correct. And it's not...
Well, I mean, I'm being somewhat frivolous, but that's not entirely frivolous. I mean, the task that they're performing is one of the things that considered in terms of whether or not there's a potential for danger, right?
That is correct. And also considering the potential for danger here, although they are the only workers on the outside edge, and although they're concentrating on their work, that does not vitiate the application here of the regulation, because the regulation is intended to protect people from falling. And just because they're working doesn't mean they're going to be paying more attention to their safety. The board's finding of fact 2 is correct. The question is what flows from that finding. And the board incorrectly in this case found that because the surface outside of the guardrail was less than 45 inches, that change the nature of the surface. But the regulation here does not
talk about it. Now, they don't actually say nature. I mean, as I understand it, that was argued, but they don't really say that, do they?
It was in the decision by the judge and the analysis by the decision, but the factual finding, too, you're correct, Your Honor, does not use the word nature. It simply says a guardrail had been placed parallel to the edge so that the area between the guardrail and edge was less than 45 inches wide.
Did the administrative judge then treat change in the nature as a conclusion of law? Is that what I'm hearing? How did it come up? Because I looked and asked somebody else to look on my behalf, and we couldn't find nature, change in the nature, nature alteration. We couldn't find anything about change in the nature in the wax.
There's nothing about the nature changing in the wax. The word that is used is dimensions. And here the administrator or the industrial appeals judge did not establish a clear connection between that finding and that the nature of the surface had changed.
What if they built a wall? An impenetrable wall on the city, right where the railing was, wherever that was. Would we have to resort to change in the nature of the slab, or would that be covered by some other provision?
That would be covered by some other provision because it would no longer be a walking, working surface. The wall would, the wall is not something that the workers could pass through as they did in this case.
Without scaling over it, I guess.
Correct.
Which wouldn't be anticipated.
That would probably not be foreseeable.
So since the board did not use the nature of the surface, do we then disregard that, or do we need to take that into consideration?
The board concluded that the department did not prove the violation, and the department proved...
But the board adopts its own findings, and the board, and that's the final decision, and the board doesn't use the terminology nature.
The board did not use the terminology nature, but the only logical conclusion that flows from the board's own findings is that there was a violation of the regulation. This is not a substantial evidence case.
There was a violation, or there was?
That there was a that the general contractor, Howard Wright, violated the
regulation. And that's number two.
Number two is the finding of fact with regard
to that. And that doesn't talk about nature, and so your argument is, having made finding two, that doesn't support 3, 4, et cetera.
That's right. It does not support a finding that there was no violation. Because the general contractor violated WSHA in this case by not protecting the surface's edge, this court should affirm.
Going to that point, Your Honor.
You argued to the ALJ, as I understand it.
I did.
That it changed the nature, didn't it?
There was a reference in the notes section where the IAJ, Industrial Appeals Judge, says that at first the employer's argument seemed illogical, but after
right.
considering it, there was that on page number 9, I believe, of the decision, but not in the findings of fact. The findings of fact by the judge, which are deemed conclusive if supported by substantial evidence of the record, are bound by this court.
But the board didn't make those findings.
Well, the board made the finding that the area where the two Corona workers were working was less than 45 inches.
Right.
The width.
But it doesn't talk about nature.
It does not. And therefore, because it's less than 45 inches, the WAC regulation for what is defined as a walking working surface says that it has to be greater than 45 inches in all directions. And because it wasn't a walking working surface. And because it wasn't a walking working surface, the 4-foot rule didn't apply. The 10-foot will apply. And so Judge Schwa asked the question if there was a wall. And we argue that in our brief. In the place of the guardrail, if you put up a wall, you've got windows. If somebody were to climb out of that wall onto the ledge, then they would be required to be tied off if they're greater than 10 feet. And so all of the alternative provisions the council argues, the cast platforms, the fall restraint, the fall arrest, the tying up systems, the nets.
Now, you put windows in your wall, but my wall didn't have any windows. Okay. I mean, I'm trying to get away from the idea of somebody scooting under a guardrail or, you know, something like that. I was trying to get in. My point was to raise, if it was perceived to be impenetrable, would that then change how you measured the slab or whatever. That's what I was trying to get at. Because someone would have to do something unforeseeable.
Absolutely.
To get on the other side of the impenetrable.
And so I
put spikes and razor wire on the top of my walls. So.
Certainly, and the law doesn't require that. But what it does require, though,
probably
is
wouldn't favor it for worker safety, yeah.
I agree, Your Honor. is that when a worker is required to be outside of that protection, they need to be tied off. They need to have some kind of alternative protection. The regulation also says that you wear a 6-foot lanyard. And so if you're 4 feet, 5 feet off the ground, a 6-foot lanyard really isn't going to do anything to protect the worker from a fall because you're going to hit the ground before the rope picks up the slack. And the same thing for the safety nets and the cache platforms. It requires a 10-foot distance in order to make it effective. And so the board...
Did the board incorporate by reference or adopt by reference any of the administrative judge's findings, or did it make all of its own findings that are expressed by it?
The Superior Court erred by saying there was no substantial evidence, and that's why we believe that this court should adopt the board's final decision and order and vacate the Superior Court's. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.